Cinderella is Israel. If you've heard the last two broadcasts, I trust you are convinced of that, and that the author of this ancient tale knew what he was doing when he wrote that simple tale which has entertained and intrigued so many millions of our people down through the centuries. As I stated in a previous broadcast, it is nothing short of miraculous that the story of Cinderella never dies out. Every generation hears it over again, from being read to them by mother, to reading it themselves, to watching it in full-length cartoon-style movies. And our people never seem to tire of the story of the little servant girl who married the prince of the realm and lived happily ever after. Perhaps it is because deep down in our psyche, in the very nature of our being, we know there really is a Cinderella, there really is a prince, they really will get married and live happily ever after. This will be the third and final broadcast on Cinderella, and at the end of this broadcast, if I have time, I will briefly point out how that same story is in Sleeping Beauty, Little Red Riding Hood, and others. There are several keys to recognizing that such stories as Cinderella are really Bible stories. The most important one, and the one which many churchgoers do not know, is that Israel was to disappear, to be lost, to lose her name and her identity, and not to be identified or recognized again as Israel until the end of the age. So many ministers have been taught in the seminaries that the people called Jews are Israelites, that they then teach that to their congregations without once questioning what happened to lost Israel. What happened to the millions of Israelites who were deported out of ancient Palestine into the Assyrian captivity 700 years before Christ and never returned to Palestine? They were never called Jews either in the Bible or by historians. Where are their descendants today? There are also the Abrahamic promises of great numbers of people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants were to be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven, so they could not be numbered. And God told Abraham, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now some might say, "Oh, those promises of great numbers of descendants have been delayed." And some use the phrase that none of the promises are in operation as long as Israel is out of the land. Well, that isn't what the Bible says. Turn with me to the prophet Hosea. I've read the verses in Hosea 2 which promised that God would remarry Israel, and these promises were made after the announcement that she would be cast off. Hosea prophesied just before Israel was conquered and deported by Assyria, and in Hosea 1 is the announcement of the casting away. Verse 4, God says, "I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel." Verse 6, "I will utterly take them away." That was fulfilled as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 16, 17, and 18. You should read all three chapters. Verse 23 of chapter 17 says, "The Lord removed Israel out of his sight, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria under this day," and that was 7 centuries before Christ. But in Hosea, God goes right on after prophesying their removal, and he speaks of this cast-off and utterly taken-away house of Israel. Verse 10, chapter 1, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered." So the Abrahamic promise of making them into a great number of people was to go right on in Israel's divorced and cast-off state. This would be while she was not known as Israel. Then God continues. Same verse, verse 10 of Hosea 1. "And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." That is being fulfilled in this Christian era. The very same ministers who tell our race we are not Israel, preach Jesus to us, and tell us when we believe on Him, we are the sons of the living God. One might paraphrase that last part of verse 10 this way. In the countries where you will be told you are not Israel, there you will become known as Christians, sons of the living God. It should be obvious to even the most rudimentary of minds that Hosea 1 and verse 10 has not come to pass on the Jewish people, neither the increase in numbers nor the being told they are not God's people. In fact, about 90% of the ministers in the world keep telling the Jews they are God's people, and the Jews also have not been told they are the sons of the living God. Hosea 1 and verse 10 has come to pass, however, in the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Europe. Another key to seeing that such stories as Cinderella are about Israel is the knowledge that God was to marry Israel, not some non-Israelite church. In Isaiah 54, this is prophesied in verse 5 through 8, immediately following that great prophecy about the Christ in Isaiah 53. In Hosea 2, where the promise of remarriage is given to cast off Israel, it says in verse 7, "Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." In the first four verses of Romans 7 in the New Testament, Paul explains to the Christian believers at Rome that a woman divorced for adultery, and that was why Israel was divorced, could not remarry except that her husband be dead. God, the first husband of Israel, had to die to make Israel a widow eligible for remarriage. So Paul says in verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren," meaning my fellow Israelites, "ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead." Israel's husband, God, in Jesus, died on Calvary, making Israel free to remarry to the risen Christ. And we'll discuss further the identity of Israel as the bride in the book of Revelation a little later. Let us continue with our story of Cinderella, Israel. The great ball which was held so the prince could choose a bride, we liken to the great Protestant Reformation in Europe. The invitations to it were the thousands of copies of the Bible printed in the language of the people for the first time and distributed all over Northern and Western Europe. Many came, including Cinderella in her beautiful gown provided by the white bird, but the ball was not the end of the great drama. Although the prince had eyes only for Cinderella, she had been warned that it would end, and she would have to flee before midnight. She did, leaving the glass slipper as the only clue to her identity, and she went back to her duties as a servant girl under her cruel masters. The prince sent his servants to find his chosen bride. They had the glass slipper. It would fit perfectly only the chosen one. That slipper is the scriptural description of lost Israel. It will fit the Israel people and no other. The prince knew others would claim to be his bride, so his servants were instructed to try it on all of the young women in the realm and bring him the one which it fitted perfectly. God's servants today preach the Bible to all of the world, but the description of Israel in that Bible will fit only Jesus' promised bride, Christian Israel. And so the search in the Cinderella story began. When the old woman and her daughters heard the prince was seeking the young woman who had lost the slipper at the ball, they began to plot ways to deceive the prince's messengers into believing one of them was the bride the prince sought. Then they would move into the palace and rule the kingdom. When the messengers of the prince arrived at Cinderella's home, the elder, whom we have identified as ecclesiastical Babylon, the great corrupt world church, was presented as the bride being sought. We have heard her preaching for centuries, saying in 100 different ways, I am the true church, the bride of Christ. The messengers listened and almost believed, but when they pulled out the slipper representing the scriptural description that could fit only Cinderella Israel, it did not fit. At this point, the old mother, Mystery Babylon the Great, stepped in and told the elder sister to say it was the younger who was the one. And what have we heard from the organized church for the last century? The Jews are Israel. The Jews are God's chosen people. Christ will come and convert the Jews, and they will rule with him in his kingdom. In the story of Cinderella, the prophetic author tells us that the old mother, recognizing the slipper was the wrong size, even cut the toes off the younger daughter's foot, and all three exerted all their efforts, straining at the bloody foot to force it to fit the slipper. In the 20th century, we are deluged with propaganda about how the Jews have always been persecuted. The Germans killed 6 million Jews. Death and persecution stories are used by both minister and Jews, who twist and turn both Jewry and Scripture, desperately trying to make us believe that one fits the other, but they do not fit. Up to this point, the ancient Saxon writer has brought us to the 20th century. What we have already related is history, and the rest of the fascinating tale is prophecy. Eventually, the king's messengers turned from both daughters, saying it was obvious their feet did not fit the slipper, and asked if there were other young women in the house. The old mother insisted not, but the messengers spied Cinderella in her sackcloth and ashes, going about her servant duties, and demanded she be brought out. The two sisters attempted to stop them, but were unable to do so. Cinderella was seated in a chair, and the slipper tried on. It was a perfect fit. Cinderella, the bride of the prince, had been found. And so we see it happening today. Independent kingdom ministers, using the Holy Bible's description of Israel, can preach that Israel, the bride of Christ, has been found. The historical and prophetic description of Israel fits only Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred Christian nations. While the organized church denominations continue to protest that the younger daughter of Babylon, Jewry, is true Israel, Cinderella Israel sits quietly, wearing sackcloth and ashes before her Lord. The slipper, scripture proof of her identity, fits. To those who do not see the white Christian West in sackcloth and ashes, I can only suggest you be patient for a few more years. The Christian West is under assault from forces far beyond her power to resist. Mystery Babylon has planned the destruction of Israel, but before she will be able to complete it, the messengers of the prince will recognize God's true Israel, and in her extremity, she will be in sackcloth and ashes. Hosea wrote God's promises to Israel in Hosea 2, and it shall be at that time, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me husband, and shalt call me no more Lord. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. I want to end this Cinderella story, as it will end someday in the not-too-distant future. The folk tale says the wicked stepmother and her daughters were driven out, and then Cinderella was taken to the castle and fitted with a white wedding gown. Revelation 17 and 18 describes the destruction of Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In Revelation 18:21 it says, with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. In verse 23 of that same chapter, it says, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. The crimes of the mother of harlots against true Israel will be known in all the kingdom. Then comes the marriage in Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That is Cinderella's white wedding gown. The ancient Saxon scribe ended his prophetic story with two white doves singing to the prince and Cinderella as they ride off. Turn and peep, turn and peep, no blood is on the shoe. The shoe is not too small for her, the true bride rides with you. The tale ends, as it were, on a note that tells us the entire parable was a long and finally successful attempt to identify the true bride of the prince. For on the correct identity of the bride of Christ hangs all understanding of the prophetic scriptures. For those whose ministers still preach that the Jews are Israel, or that the church is the kingdom, or that a Gentile church is Christ's bride, let's read Revelation 21. In verse 2, John writes, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then to be sure you understand who the true bride is, that it is not a Gentile church, let us read Revelation 21, verse 9 through 12. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Yes, Israel is the bride. She is the Israel of the dispersion, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, within whom the Holy Spirit has lived and worked since Pentecost. She is the one whose identity is denied by the false church and by false Israel. She will be an Israel cleansed of all her sins and iniquity, turning to Jesus Christ and his word. She is the Israel of whom God said in Jeremiah 31, Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Israel will be the virgin bride of Christ. Cinderella has been found. Thank God that the day of the mother of harlots and her evil daughters is about over. The identity of the Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples as Israelites is being revealed. When we repent in sackcloth and ashes, Babylon will be destroyed. Jesus' kingdom on earth is coming. Join with us in prayer for the opening of the eyes of many lost sheep who are still in darkness. And tell your friends that now you know Cinderella is not a fairy tale. It is a true story. May God bless its hearing to many millions. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. My free literature offer again, the last time for the book, Cinderella, Israel in Disguise. Then in the minutes remaining, I'll quickly explain several other so-called fairy tales. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free November radio packet. I'll send you Cinderella, Israel in Disguise, and a tract, You Are Called Christian, Why? We'll send along a few other articles of interest, a list of over 40 books and tracts available from America's Promise, and a catalog of over 100 cassette tape Bible studies. The announcer will repeat that address at the end of the broadcast. All right, quickly. Jack and the Beanstalk, and I'll have to assume you know the stories. Jack is Jacob, or Israel. He and his mother have lost the goose that lays the golden egg. That is the true religion, or we might say the kingdom. They are poor and helpless. That is Israel without God. The cow he is to sell is false religion, the golden calf, as it were, and the magic beans he receives for it is, unknown to him, the true religion of Christ. They are thrown out of the window onto the ground, planted, as was the branch in Cinderella, and as was Christ in the Bible. They grew into a mighty vine. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." When Jack climbed the vine, he found the evil giant who had stolen the goose that laid the golden eggs. The evil giant is false Israel, claiming ownership of the kingdom. The girl who helped Jack take back the goose is the Holy Spirit. Jack fled back to his home via the vine, but when the giant tried to climb down the same vine, he fell to his death. And Jack and his mother had the golden goose, or the kingdom, and lived happily ever after. Sleeping Beauty is much easier. She is Israel, put to sleep by the wicked witch, false religion, or mystery Babylon. Her spell can be broken only by the true one, the Prince, Jesus Christ. When he kisses her, she wakes up from the spell of false religion, the Prince destroys mystery Babylon, marries Israel, and they live happily ever after. Little Red Riding Hood. She is Israel, taking food to her grandmother, doing good works through a winding, fearful woods. The wolf finds out who she is, where she is going, then kills her grandmother and disguises himself as the grandmother. That is a false religion or a false people claiming to be ancient Israel. Just as this false Israel is about to eat up true Israel, a woodcutter, a carpenter, if you please, arrives, kills the wolf, saves Little Red Riding Hood, who wears a white dress under her red cloak, by the way, and they get married and live happily ever after. What else? The Ugly Duckling. Again, lost Israel. Her true identity not known, thought to be a Gentile, just like all the other ducks. But after a period of the other ducks trying to make it a duck like themselves, she blossoms out into a beautiful swan. Israel found, regenerated, and recognized for what she really is. Hansel and Gretel, the same thing. A wicked witch. Hansel and Gretel represent Israel. Again, saved just in the nick of time, and the wicked witch destroyed. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Again, lost Israel, cared for in the wilderness by the seven spirits of God, put to sleep by the wicked witch, Mystery Babylon, awakened by the Prince, Jesus Christ, the old harlot destroyed, they get married and live happily ever after. How marvelous are the works of God among men! For centuries, millions of our race, with little or no knowledge of the Bible, have learned the story of the Bible, of Jesus Christ of Israel and his coming kingdom in the wondrous tales of the Saxon race. I am sorry I do not have all of them in print. However, the one, Cinderella, Israel in disguise, will give you the clues to understand the others. Until I return next week, God willing, with a new Bible study, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles. And pray for Christian America.